Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to another episode of the Unidentified Alien Podcast, UAP. It is time. I'm Stephen Diener. Over there is Karen Curtis. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Stephen.
How are you today?
I'm super good.
Awesome. I'll tell you what. We're always excited about doing these different episodes and the different things and crazy stories that we find and come across. I have been sitting on this one, okay?
I don't know. You guys need to prepare yourselves for this one. This is a doozy.
This is something, in the interest of full disclosure, because that's what we're about here.
That's right.
Yes, all about full disclosure. Unlike, you know, the government, but that's a different story. So, you know, look, the government obviously has been hiding the truth about all this stuff for a long time, at least in our opinion, and even so much so that they finally had some type of disclosure back in July, which was kind of the start of this podcast and why we decided to do it to begin with. But one thing that I've been sitting on has been this story about a man named Andrew Basciago. And this is a guy that is extremely fascinating, might be crazy.
He's a wackadoodle.
Might be a pathological liar and making things up, but that's why we do this, because...
You decide.
You decide. We present you with a story, and you decide if it's something that is credible or if it sounds too crazy to be true. And today is one of those cases.
It is. And of course, I want to start with a UAP factoid, Stephen.
Oh, yes, please.
Just breaking now.
Oh.
China working on a complex mission to collect Mars rock samples and deliver them to Earth by building on the successes of recent Moon and Mars missions.
Wow.
So the mission's likely to be named Taiwan 2.
Okay.
It could launch as soon as 2028 with the goal of returning samples around 2030.
Wow.
Such a mission has never before been attempted. However, Stephen.
Yes.
There's a leading competitor in what would be seen as a race to Mars and back.
And I would think that's probably Elon Musk?
Yeah, it's us. NASA and ESA are already collaborating to conduct a Mars sample return mission. And the Perseverance rover, of course, we had sound of that. And it touched down on Mars on February in September, and it was collecting its first samples for potential later delivery to Earth. So,
wow. How about that?
But you know what? Somebody already beat us to it.
The other major component of my truth campaign has been to establish not only the fact that Mars is an inhabited planet, but that our government, the United States government, has been sending U.S. chrononauts to the planet Mars since the late 1970s and has established a secret colony there.
Well, that's a way to start off the subject, isn't it?
Wait, there's more.
Here's, in this image, we have one of the Martian life forms that I call plesiosaurs, because they're very similar to the plesiosaurs that were rife on this planet before the KT extinction event.
I wonder if the Chinese will send one of those plesiosaurs back.
So this is so fascinating. So that right there was Andrew Basciago.
That's a guy.
So we're in the thick of it now, okay? So that we just kind of threw that at you.
I mean, who is this guy?
So this guy, and he talked about the plesiosaurs, which is something that I will have on our UAP blog.
The picture.
Yes, the picture of the supposed plesiosaurus, which he says is a creature on Mars that was captured by the Mars rover.
Right. So wait, he has photographic evidence of this?
Well, he took the picture that the Mars rover took and says
bathroom.
That's what it is. So I will have that on the UAP blog, 850wftl.com. You can find all the images that we talk about from each episode, as well as any past episode that you might have missed or wanted to listen to and haven't been able to yet. So you can always find it there.
We dip in back and forth because
right.
We're going to talk about teleportation. We already did that. So you might want to check out past episodes that kind of elaborate on what we're talking about now.
Right. Yes, you're right. We do refer back to a lot of previous episodes. So this guy, Andrew Basciago, again, nice introduction there to him. He's talking about the word chrononaut. You heard that there. You probably heard, what the heck is that? So first, let's start at the beginning. Andrew Basciago is a guy who claims that he's a time traveler. And he's been able to teleport as well to different points in time and to Mars and things of that nature to see Mars colonies, to look back at, say, the Gettysburg Address, which we're going to get to in a little while, even back to the crucifixion of Jesus, which
he
talked about.
Oh, he saw Jesus? Really?
And so I don't think we have sound of that one, but that's something that I came across myself.
You don't have sound of Jesus?
No, I don't. So this guy claims that he was part of a super secret government program that derived technology from Nikola Tesla, who we all know and love. And it is said, and maybe we'll do an episode on Tesla in the future, but it's said, I don't know if you've heard this, Karen, when Tesla died, his technology was basically buried by big government and big companies who didn't want all this free energy out there that he found out.
You can't have free electricity at all times.
No, of course not. Why not? Why not make the world a better place? So he basically was buried and all his patents and lost a bunch of money and things like that, had his technology stolen from him. And when he died at the hotel apartment that he was in, or hotel, I forget which one, the government, so they say, government agents came in and took all his papers out of his room. And so the story goes that, at least how Andrew Basiago tells the story, that the government derived this technology of time travel, so to speak, from Tesla's papers. And they were able to figure out how to do all this from his technology and everything in his secret papers that people to this day still don't know what he had written on those papers that were recovered after his death. We do know that there were papers and no one knows where they are.
The dog ate them.
Yeah, I guess so.
But so tell us about Project Pegasus.
So this is Project Pegasus basically is the whole thing, really, from the government that wanted to use time travel to their advantage, right? To go back and look at certain periods in time in history, or to, you know, maybe try to change things, whatever it might be. And they took certain people. Now, Andrew Basiago's dad worked for the government. So if you're wondering, well, why this guy, why would they choose him? He talks about being chosen as a kid.
Right.
So his dad was already a high-ranking official within the U.S. government at this time, which is, you're talking back in, I want to say, the 70s and the 60s. And he even traveled through the 80s and things like that. But when he was a kid, it was more around the time of the 60s when he claims this was happening.
Yeah, here's Basiago. Is he related to the Bellagio?
I don't believe so.
Now, today I'm going to focus on my experiences, not as a child in Project Pegasus, but when I was at UCLA as an undergraduate in the early 1980s, and I was involved, I was basically recalled into government service as one of the college-aged chrononauts attached to the CIA's jump room program.
There you go. So, a lot there in that one clip. Now, number one, this was created back in the 70s, allegedly, and they used children, according to Basiago, in their experiments because they could adapt well to the, quote, strains of moving between past, present, and future. Now, that's not to say they didn't use adults, because they did, Basiago's dad being one of them, which we'll get to that story in a little while.
By the way, he said he would be tortured if he talked about this
right, with
those people who didn't need to know, but we have a need to know.
We do have a need to know. And just to give you a little more background on him, he's a guy that is actually an attorney, right, in New York, I believe, or in the state of Washington, I think it is. But anyway, he's an attorney. And so he's done all right for himself. It's not like he's just some guy looking for money.
Not some Joe Schmo.
Right, exactly.
And by the way, they've had to develop a whole new wing of the legal jurisprudence, common law of the world to associate with aliens that are on Earth. Because how would you sue an alien in regular court?
Yeah, so that's a whole different subject too. I don't know. But so this is a guy, again, that's, you know, is pretty high-powered attorney. And he actually ran for president in the 2016 election.
I didn't know
that. Yes, he did. And so he was actually asked about...
Well, he already knew President Obama.
Well, and we're going to get to that as well. Because he was actually asked about Trump and Clinton, who, of course, he was running against in 2016 when Trump won in 16. And he says that his dad told him that there was no mention of Hillary Clinton becoming president in the future, but he did remember hearing his dad talk about Trump being president in the future.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yes. So it's very odd stuff. So he did get into the, you know, some politics and was trying to run for president on this platform that he wanted to disclose the truth to the American public about all of these different things that we've been doing with time travel and space travel and alien civilizations.
And they're still counting the ballots for him?
I guess. Things didn't go well for old Andrew there on the presidential side.
But he does have a proud moment of his time in this whole thing, especially when he was on Mars.
My proudest moment on Mars was when I walked out of the jump room facility called the Corkscrew because of its conical or conch shell shape. And I saw a great ET, one of the Martian humanoids that looks like a great ET up on the roof observing us. And because of our training there at Ed Danes, where we were taught how to yell something kind of in an abbreviated way to give a fellow team member an understanding of what you had just encountered, I yelled, "Court, Brett, a gray, on the roof, observing us." So that was my proudest operational moment, because it was exactly what we'd been instructed in terms of this staccato kind of informing of your teammates. Because if you didn't do that, you might suddenly find one of them being swept away by a dinosaur-like creature 12 to 16 feet tall.
Oh, that's the plesiosaurus. He's talking about the dinosaur-like creature, which, again, you can see the picture on 850 WFTL on the UAP blog. Yes.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So again, look, this guy, here's the thing that strikes me interesting about him.
Wow.
He's very detailed.
Yes, he is.
You know?
Yes, and that lends to his credibility. Right.
Well, I guess, again, that's up to you. But this is something that, you know, you talked about Project Pegasus. He's talking about Chrononauts. I'll explain that a little bit more, too.
Crazy man on the radio.
He's talking about Project Pegasus, which we mentioned, was supposedly something that started in the 70s from DARPA. Now, DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. And they were supposedly the ones who created this experiment called Project Pegasus. And the whole point of it was to work on teleportation and time travel. So they basically look for kids between the ages of 7 and 12 to participate in this. And then, you know, you stay in it, I guess, as you get older, as time goes on.
Yeah, he talks about, this is attorney Andrew Abasiago, and he's claiming a secret government program called Project Pegasus sent him back in time to like Gettysburg in 1863, where he was photographed. Do we have that? Do we have a picture of him in Gettysburg that we can put up?
It's funny you say that, Karen. Yes, we do.
Yay.
Actually, you should see it on the cover photo. So when you go to 850WFTL.com and search for the UAP blog, you'll see this picture that Andrew Basiago talks about when he went back to Gettysburg. He says he's the boy dressed in the Union clothes. He called himself a bugle boy.
Oh.
And they sent him back to Gettysburg basically to observe President Lincoln's address.
So when you, when you time travel, do you look the same as you do now then?
Well, actually, it's funny you say that. So he explains at different points where, because he says he went to Gettysburg 5 or 6 times, is his claim. And he actually ran into himself multiple times, he says. So,
pardon me.
And he said they sent his dad there as well, and he didn't know his dad was coming. And when he asked his dad, like, "Hey, what are you doing here?" His dad had to kind of like play, you know, coy about it and be like, "Oh, I don't know who you are."
This is like Marty from Back to the Future, who almost,
it's insane. Yeah.
Prevented himself from being born.
Yeah, this stuff is crazy. Right. So I don't know. I guess it's not like how Doc says in Back to the Future, where it'll create a rip in, you know, time space fabric and destroy the whole universe. But,
well, he explains time loops here.
Okay. I was officially brought in the fall of 1969. I was involved in different forms of time travel until the end of the summer of 1972, when I was nearing age 11. And during those 4 years, I had 4 hidden summers in New Mexico as a result of teleporting there, spending time there, involved in secret project activities, and then teleporting back to New Jersey, arriving on the afternoon of the day I had originally left. So the timeline here is somewhat convoluted because they were using time loops to create places where we would do secret work for the Defense Department and then collapse those time loops by having us teleport back to the day we left on the East Coast.
I know. Okay.
Well, I'm gonna teleport back an hour this weekend.
Oh, are you? Oh, that's right. Yes, yeah. The fallback. That's true. It sounds wild. It sounds kooky. I understand that, and it sounds a little bit hard to follow, even. But you're talking about a guy that. Why lie about this stuff? I guess. I mean, just for notoriety, to sell books. I mean, sure, you can profit off of it.
You know,
but
I think he believes it.
Sure sounds like he does.
It's possible that he is delusional. And
sure.
Maybe as a kid, he thought he was teleporting back and forth. And he has all these memories. I don't know. Or maybe he really did. But he also claims that then, at that time, a 19-year-old Barack Obama, who went by the name of Barry Sartoro,
yes,
was with him.
I would also note that we're living in a time that one of my fellow jumpers in the Mars Jumper program of the early 1980s, a same-age peer by the name of Barack Obama, who's currently clearly president of the United States.
Now, obviously, this is an older clip.
Yeah.
So he's talking about, okay, again, bear with us here. So this guy, let's recap, shall we? Because this has such been a
heavy
subject.
So he's on Mars with Barry?
He's on Mars with Barack Obama, who was Barry Sartoro at that time. He remembers meeting him, says he was a nice kid and things like that. And they were on Mars together, basically in these bunkers, in these barracks, so to speak, to, you know, do different experiments.
Was Matt Damon there growing potatoes?
He may or may not have. He didn't mention. I'm not sure. So he, but
the Martian.
Yes. So this is what he describes. Again, it sounds crazy, but this is what he describes. And he says, again, just to recap, DARPA, one of the defense agencies, creates Project Pegasus in the late 60s, early 70s. He becomes part of it. They look for kids 7 to 12 because they can handle the strains of time travel better, I suppose.
I see, yes.
And then from there, they send him to Gettysburg. They send him to all these different places. He even describes going to Ford's Theater on multiple occasions.
Oh, with Lincoln.
On the night that Lincoln was shot.
Wow.
To witness the assassination. So these are all things that, according to him, the government DARPA agency was using teleportation and time travel to basically gain knowledge of the past, present, and future.
Yeah, he said that he was a part of a group of 10 young adults,
right,
including Obama, in the Mars training class at some California college. How do you say that? Siskiyousis Couscous?
Something like that.
Yeah, in 1980. And they were chosen to travel to Mars via top secret teleportation jump room. And by the way, he also says that for some odd reason, nobody reported that Obama was part of it.
And we don't know really anything about him as a result of the sealing of his records. And despite the hundreds of radio interviews I've done and the numerous public appearances, there has been no mainstream journalistic attention focused on President Obama's service in the jump room program.
Again, I know this sounds crazy, but this guy has been, Karen, I'm telling you, he's been like claiming this stuff since 2004.
He ran for president.
He did.
Why isn't no one covering him?
Well, that's why we are.
Exactly.
They leave it up to us, the crack team of Karen Curtis and Stephen Diener on UAP. That's what we're here for. But this is a guy, again, who has been claiming these stories, unchanged details, for 17 years going on now.
Describe the teleporter that they used. I mean, so they didn't just beam up like on Star Trek. They used an actual physical elliptical type thing.
Yes, I'm glad you said that. So going back to Tesla, basically what they're saying here is when they found Tesla's papers in 1943, in January of 1943, after his death, they, again, derived it from his papers when they created this technology. So the teleporter consisted of two gray elliptical booms, they call it. About 8 feet tall.
So it's like in The Fly with Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah, kind of. If you think about the famous picture of Tesla sitting in between the giant static towers, where he's like sitting in the chair,
yes,
with his legs crossed. Think about something like that.
Okay.
And so they're 8 feet tall, and they're separated by about 10 feet. So
okay,
between those, there's a shimmering curtain, as Basiago describes it, of what Tesla called radiant energy.
Oh, cool.
Was being broadcast between these two elliptical booms. Now, Basiago says that radiant energy is a form of energy that Tesla discovered and that it's latent and pervasive in the universe and has among its properties the capacity to bend time-space.
So that's interesting. It's not dark matter, though.
No. So this is something, you know how, again, Back to the Future, the flux capacitor is what makes time travel possible. In this case, it's radiant energy that makes time travel possible because it allows you to bend time-space, according, I guess, to Tesla's papers that people never got to see because they were confiscated after his death. So again, this is all depending on what you want to believe, but this is a guy who goes into great detail and has gone into this detail. This is an important note to mention. Has kept this detail for 17 years. These stories are unchanged.
So, you know, he claims that these claims are supported by Alfred Weber.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lawyer also.
Also a lawyer.
That specializes in exopolitics,
right,
or political implications surrounding an extraterrestrial presence on Earth, as I was talking about before. So that's kind of interesting. The new legal implications not covered by common law or current jurisprudence. There's actually people that are specializing in this.
Yeah, and this guy says, Alfred Weber says, that teleportation and time travel have been around for 40 years, which kind of matches with the time frame here, even going back 50 years in the time frame we're talking about. But he says that they're hoarded by the Defense Department instead of being used to transfer, you know, goods and services. How great would it be? Look at the supply stuff that we're going through right now. The
supply chain issues would be solved.
How about that? How nice would that be to just be able to teleport all these, you know, supplies and goods throughout the country and throughout the world instead of having, you know, ships jammed up at a, you know, a cargo hold?
It seems like if this is all true, they just don't want us to succeed, you know, because we would be able to have, as Tesla projected, free energy,
right,
and we would be able to move stuff around. Who was the guy that we had, we talked about before?
Yes.
Who was teleporting all around to these different bases?
That's right. So I think you're thinking about Valiant Thor.
No, not him. The other guy with the missing fingers.
Oh, our buddy Philip Schneider.
Yes.
Yes, yes. And so we've talked about this different type of stuff before. If you want to learn about Philip Schneider, you can go back to one of the, I think within the first five or six episodes, is the Dulce Base Wars. Again, one of the best episodes in my book that we've
Me
ever
too.
Done.
My favorite.
And then, of course, the Valiant Thor, that was a few weeks ago, when that was supposedly an alien who was working in the Pentagon that tried to give the technology to the U.S. government and to the world that would make the world a better place,
yeah,
and help to bring about
like,
world
no.
peace. Supposedly, this is like, no, we're good because we want to keep the power in our hands. So, look, these are all things that kind of tie together in past episodes that we've done. But, and that's the thing that I find intriguing about this, Karen. We've done all these different subjects, different people, different time periods, different stories, but they all have the same theme. They all come back to the same thing,
they
right?
They do, yeah.
Philip Schneider.
They have a common thread.
Yes. Philip Schneider with the Dulce Base Wars talked about how there's all this advanced technology that, you know, government doesn't want us to know about. Then you talk about Valiant Thor, try to give technology to the world. It says he's from Venus, and they don't want all this technology.
Inter-Venus, inside.
That's right. Inside Venus.
Inside Venus.
Yes. Venetian, as they call them. And then you have this story here with Andrew Basiago talking about, and his buddy Alfred Weber, how they've had this technology for 40, 50 years, but they don't want to give it out to the public because the Defense Department uses it for their own purposes. So, different stories, different time periods, different people, same type of theme. Government wants to keep control, and it just, I hope it's not true. Like, this stuff, this story is so interesting and so intriguing to me, but in the back of my head, I'm thinking to myself, honestly, there's a part of me that doesn't want this to be true, because if it is, that means this technology is out there,
oh, yeah,
and no one's getting to use it for their own good throughout the world.
You know, people believe that there's actually cures for cancer already.
Right.
There's all kinds of these types of conspiracy theories that we've had the power all along to do all these things.
Now, again, though, maybe it would be used for evil. I mean, could you imagine just some guy in the street being able to teleport and try to change history somewhere or change the future?
If we could all teleport, it'd be a mess.
Oh, my gosh. Be running into each other in time-space.
If we're running into ourselves, each other, like me, running into me, no.
We'd be texting and teleporting.
Oh, no.
It would be a mess. Maybe we're better off not having this stuff. I don't know. But it is. It's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, to think about these stories, these claims that Basiago makes, that these programs through DARPA, through Project Pegasus, have been around for 40, 50 years where they're teleporting.
Well, see, there's just no way to police it.
No.
And this guy with his exopolitics, I mean, there's just no law that can help you to control all of this.
I mean, he's talking about going to Gettysburg. Again, he says he has the picture and says it's him as a child. Now, whether or not, we have no way to know that's true.
I have a picture with Elvis.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know if that's true.
From last week.
The picture is on 850WFTL.com on the UAP blog. You can see it, as well as the plesiosaurus and that he says is a creature on Mars.
Look, a plesiosaur.
It's hard to know what to make of this one. It's such a fantastic story with incredible details. But again, that's the thing, and I keep repeating it. This is a guy who has given the same details. He's written books about it. He's given the same details for 17 years. And maybe he's just a really good liar. I don't know. Maybe he's a really good storyteller. But on the other hand, maybe he's telling the truth.
Well, yeah, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction.
That's
and
true.
And the people that know the truth are like, let him talk about it. He sounds like a complete idiot. But it could be true.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And that's maybe one way of them covering up and saying, just let him talk about it, like you said, because no one's going to believe it anyway. So if you wonder why, well, how is he being able to talk about this stuff and he's still alive? Well, because he sounds like a kook. I mean, you're listening you're listening along with us. You're thinking the same thing we are. This guy sounds like a crazy person.
Yeah, he does.
But maybe he's telling the truth. And that's why we talk about it, because we let you decide. There is one other story, actually, Karen.
And President Obama didn't return my call.
Oh, yeah,
when
that's
I tried
right.
to verify the story.
Yes, we did try to get with him about this. There was one other story that I wanted to tell you about with him.
Oh, please do tell.
Oh, I will. So there's actually a story that he tells. And I heard the interview. We didn't get sound of this one, so I'll just kind of impart the knowledge to you. He tells a story that he was in a room, and they showed him a film. Now, before I tell the whole story, let me give a little backstory to the story. He explains the word chrononaut. Now, we've heard the word chrononaut a couple of times during the episode. He said it during one of his lectures that we were playing earlier.
It's like a time astronaut.
Yeah, exactly. And what they do, there's two different forms of time travel that Basiago refers to. The first one is actually going to the location using radiant energy from the Tesla technology and bending time and space and going to that location. The second form is using this technology to essentially make a hologram of the past or make a hologram of where you're teleporting to. He describes being on Mars as more of a hologram than actually being on Mars itself. By using the technology that they have. So in this case, in the story that he tells about Jesus's crucifixion. Now, to give some background on Basiago himself, he was raised Catholic, but then fell away from Catholicism. So he's kind of like, you know, in between. He wasn't trying to preach or anything like that or convert anybody.
He saw Christ.
That's what he claims. So he says they used the technology of more of a hologram instead of being at the actual crucifixion site in Jerusalem. They used the hologram technology to show and essentially record the crucifixion of Jesus. And he says he saw the video, which again, as fantastic and wild as it sounds, he says he saw the video of the crucifixion with his father and one of their friends. And they were basically given this video, this knowledge of watching this, and he describes it
as the Passion of the Christ.
Yeah, he describes watching Jesus on the cross with the crown of thorns. He said he described the crown of thorns as looking almost like a motorcycle helmet in its size and how it like rested on his head. He described Jesus being punctured with the lance, all the things you hear from the Gospels. He described seeing it in this, I guess, time travel film, so to speak. And he mentions, you know, the two people behind Jesus, you know, again from the Gospels, the thieves who were crucified with Jesus at that time. And he describes seeing all this and the sky's going dark. Everything you hear about in the Gospels, he talked about seeing in this time travel film. And then he even talked about that there was a resurrection film that he did not see, but that they did have footage through time travel, through this technology, of Jesus. So these stories are incredible.
I wish we did an episode on all the weird kind of stone structures around the world.
Yes.
I wish he had teleported himself back to figure out how they did Pumapuku and
right.
and
all those things
the pyramids.
We talked about, yeah.
And, oh my gosh, Göbekli Tepe. How did they do all that?
That would be nice to know, right?
Yeah.
But again, this is something. It's what intrigued me And what has intrigued me over the years about this story is, again, of course, the idea of time travel. That intrigues all of us. The idea of teleportation, going to Mars and seeing different creatures and seeing aliens, and the fact that he claims that he was there with Barack Obama as a young teen.
Well, even Einstein, and also to some extent the father of time, Hawking, believe everything is about time.
Right. And Einstein has, or had said, anyway, in his theories, that he believed that time travel was possible, maybe through a wormhole, whatever it might be. And he actually went as far, I mean, if you remember the studies of Einstein, where he theorized, and it was just proven to be true within the past decade, I think, that if you travel at light speed, then time moves differently for you.
And you don't age.
Right.
The faster you go, the less you age.
The less you age, which goes back to the movie Interstellar with, you know, that crazy Matthew McConaughey movie that Christopher Nolan directed, where I won't get into that, whole that movie was insane. But it's that same theory, which that theory has been proven to be true. So that is time travel to a certain extent, not to what, you know, Basiago was talking about, which is actually going to a certain time period where he claims being at the Gettysburg Address and the Ford assassination of Lincoln and all these different things that he's claimed to be at and be a part of and see in person. And of course, being teleported to Mars, or at least a hologram of Mars, and being at the bases. And he's talked about these, you know, these CIA headquarters, these secret locations where they have these, quote, jump rooms. These are all details. Again, maybe he's just a really smart fiction writer and he's been able to keep these stories in check and not deviate from his details over the past 17 years. But that's hard to do. I mean, at some point you would think over the 17 year time span that he's been claiming these things to be true, that you would forget some detail or omit something or change something by accident.
I think he believes what happened, so therefore he's lived it somehow in his brain, whether or not it was imagined or not, but he's got the memory.
Yeah. No, you're right, because if you watch a video of him, and maybe, I don't know, I mean, maybe we'll have up the video on the UAP blog, because maybe, I mean, you know what, maybe I will do that, because you can be a judge for yourself. When I always like to watch people on video, to kind of get a feel of their body language, to see how they're structuring their sentences, to look at their eyes. Because you can look at somebody's eyes and tell if they're recalling something as they're talking.
You're right.
Like you're talking to your friend and they're telling you, oh man, I got to tell you this story. This happened last night. And when someone's telling you the story, they're usually looking away. They look down. They look up because they're recalling in their mind.
Well, that's what makes an actor good, if they can make it seem like their lines are something they're recalling.
Right.
And not just looking off to the side to cue cards.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, that happens a lot when we tell stories. Just think about yourself when you tell a story. You're usually closing your eyes to think about it, or you're looking down because you're visualizing as you're speaking. You have the images in your mind and recalling it as you're talking. So, and I kind of noticed that type of body language from Basiago as he spoke. So you be the judge. I'll have the video up on the blog as well, that you can check out on 850WFTL.com. And look, that's all we ever do here. You be the judge. We give you the stories. We give you the details. And you be the judge on whether or not this is something that is true or not, or could be true anyway.
Yeah, I mean, here he is, just to remind you.
Here's this image. We have one of the Martian life forms that I call plesiosaurs, because they're very similar to the plesiosaurs that were rife on this planet before the KT extinction event.
There you go. So the plesiosaurus is also on the blog.
Photographic evidence.
That's what he says. So you can check all that out on 8050WFTL.com. And you probably noticed that you might be thinking to yourself, wow, they spent a lot of time in this one story. Well, there's a reason for that. This thing was so loaded. Normally, if you've heard any of our other previous episodes, you would know that we'd normally cover about three different stories. And today we realize this story is just completely loaded with unbelievable details that we wanted to devote the entire episode to this one thing. And we're actually going to do that again next week.
Yes.
Because originally what we wanted to do was include the story of a man named Randy Kramer.
He's an American. He spent 17 years deployed on Mars.
That's what he says. And his stories as well are just...
Well, he was part of the Mars Defense Force.
Oh, well, excuse me. Yes. And he talks about all that, how he was part of this space defense system and 17 years, teleportation, fought against aliens, peace treaties, just wild, wild stories.
He flew anti-gravity vehicles throughout the solar system,
well,
Stephen.
Of course.
As part of the Earth Defense Force.
How can it be so disrespectful? So, again, so now we're going to look at next week, devoting the entire episode to Randy Kramer, because just like Andrew Basiago, it deserves its own episode because there's so many wild, crazy details that you'll only get here on UAP.
Absolutely. I can't wait. Where do you get this stuff?
I'll tell you, Karen, I have been looking. There are some things, there are some subjects and stories that I've been sitting on that I could not wait to get to. Dulce Base being one of them back in, I think, episode 5 or 6 when we did it. This, what we just did today,
yeah,
and what we can do next week, are two of the things that I could not wait to do these episodes at some point. So I'm so happy we're finally at this point. Episode 19, to talk about Andrew Basiago and his time travel claims and radiant energy and Tesla's technology and doing all these crazy things and seeing all these things, to now episode 20 next week and talking about Randy Kramer and his wars on Mars. It's incredible stuff.
It's very, very exciting. I love being along for the ride with you, my friend, on
UAP.
Thank
you. But you can do it all again with us next week right here on UAP, the Unidentified Alien Podcast. Karen Curtis over there, Stephen Diener over here. Make sure to check out all the previous episodes, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us with 5 extraterrestrial stars. And of course, check out 850WFTL.com for the UAP blog with all the episodes and pictures of everything we spoke about.
And download and subscribe. We would love to have new listeners as well. So tell us your friends about us.
Yes, that's right. Thank you to all of you who have been listening and downloading. We appreciate you, and do it all again next time.
Yeah, till next time.